We're talking Brian Humphries with National Pork Producers Council. Brian, let's talk about two or three things that are really, I think, really important to the future of the pork industry. One is this conversation regarding Prop 12, California. We've had this coming for a long time. We're now at that point of possible, you know, actual implementation. But we've got the U.S. Supreme Court throwing their weight around as well.
Oh, absolutely. And so, Ron, thank you for being here at the Oklahoma Pork Council Congress this year. Terrific turnout. Glad to have everybody here. Glad you're here. To Proposition 12, this has been a real challenge for our industry and helping folks understand the challenges it presents for our industry and the compliance in order to provide a legal and compliant product to the state of California. And so several years ago, MPPC, with our good friends and partners over at the Farm Bureau Federation, filed suit. And very fortunate earlier this spring that the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear this case. We filed our briefs, and we are fortunate that in mid-June, the United States Solicitor General even joined on in support of our case and our arguments against Prop 12. Oral arguments are coming up this fall, and we're looking for a hopefully favorable ruling sometime a few months after that. But this is a real challenge for the industry, and we're glad that MPPC could stand up and fight for the American producer with our good friends at the American Farm Bureau.
Well, what are the key points that the industry really needs to make with these justices?
Absolutely. And so a couple of points here. One is the Dormant Commerce Clause, and that this the way this law was written, the way the rules the draft rules have come out, is an overreach across state lines. And that presents a real challenge to the sovereignty of the folks right here in Oklahoma to be able to raise their pigs and to be able to do what they believe is best for the animal and animal welfare. And so to have folks from California coming into the state of Oklahoma to tell them how to raise pigs presents real challenges for not only the folks here in Oklahoma, but around the country. And so that's been the focus of our argument. And there's a lot of other things that go into this, but that's the biggest sticking point here.
And, of course, Prop 12 is the law of the land in California for now anyway. Are we having any success in really dealing with them? Have they gotten to a point where we actually have the rules of the road actually out there?
So a couple of things. One, a superior court in the state of California has actually put a stay on this law. And so it is not implemented until final rules are submitted. And so we haven't reached that point yet. And so it's allowed some breathing room for our industry to wait to hear what the Supreme Court's going to rule, hopefully, and then be able to determine our future as an industry there and how we're going to comply. And as far as are we getting through to folks there, I sure hope that they recognize the challenge this puts on an industry that is just trying to provide a high-quality, low, affordable product to the American consumer. And this presents real challenges for our ability to do that while caring for our animals and taking care of our employees.
Opposite side of the country, Massachusetts, you got challenges there too.
Absolutely. Little similarities, but different, right? In Massachusetts, question three, actually passed prior to Proposition 12, is actually supposed to be implemented on August 15th, so about 10 days from now. And that presents some similar challenges in animal housing and being able to supply product to the state of Massachusetts. And again, very similar in how do we provide that product to the folks of Massachusetts and be compliant with the law when we have some challenges with what it means for our producers and how they raise these animals and a lot of questions. We're continuing to work through that, continuing to have conversations and trying to get all that figured out on behalf of the American pork producer. But again, another real challenge there in the state of Massachusetts as our industry is just trying to provide a high-quality, affordable bacon to the American consumer.
Well, a lot of folks want to tell us how we produce pork.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's a blessing and a curse in the fact that folks are interested in how their food is raised. They are very curious about what they are taking into their bodies and feeding their families, just the same way every farmer in Oklahoma and around the country is. And so it's our job as folks in agriculture to help tell that story and create that level of comfort. I grew up on a farm. My son is working on a farm today. And we care for our animals. We care for our communities. We care for the environment that we're in. And folks should be proud of that. And just ask the folks in agriculture to make sure we're out telling that story and being proud of who we are and what we do on our farms and help give that level of confidence to the American consumer that we're doing the right things every day.
Finally, a lot of questions. You heard them here at the African Swine Fever, ASF, is out there in the world. It's gotten as close as Hispaniola now. Not in the U.S. yet, but there is that there's a tension there of, you know, what if?
Oh, absolutely. And so African swine fever has been a brutal disease to the world pork industry. And our heart bleeds a bit for the folks that are faced with these challenges in other countries. It is our job as an industry and as representatives of that industry to do everything we can to help position us to be as prepared as possible, but also work on the prevention methods. And so our work with the USDA through APHIS, but also through Customs and Borders, to ensure that we're doing everything we can to be prepared and then prevent the disease from coming in. And that's everything from ensuring that there are beagles at the airports to smell for product coming in that shouldn't be coming in. It's ensuring that APHIS and USDA have the required funding that they need to help protect the industry from that. And that goes back to our work with congressmen and senators to ensure that there's adequate funding within the Farm Bill to ensure that we have what we need as an industry in the federal government to protect our industry from this horrific disease that is just off the coast in the Dominican Republic.
The resources we need, you talked about the Farm Bill, obviously. Part of that is that vaccine bank and more, obviously.
It's the vaccine bank for foot and mouth disease. It's the NALMS labs, the disease testing labs. And then it's additional resources for the folks that work at APHIS and everywhere else to ensure they have the funding and the staff that they need to be able to help the industry through these troubling times. Yep.
Are you excited that maybe we're finally getting close to reality for this national biodefense lab in Manhattan, Kansas?
I think that anything we can do to continue to advance the science and technology and disease preparation and research in this country is phenomenal. The more resources we have available, the more funding we have available for all of these things are just going to help all of agriculture be better prepared for not only prevention of disease, but research on other things to help us be better at what we do. And that goes, again, back to our discussion of the Farm Bill. We really need to be focused on increased funding for research and for education as it relates to agriculture to ensure that we are at the forefront of the technology challenges against the technology that we can have in our industry and all of agriculture to be better at what we do every day.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for being here.